This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. The Health News Digest on the Bigger Picture. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Health News Digest. If you've just joined us, I'm Sina Camilla, alongside T. Xiao Yik. We're now taking a look at the rabies situation in Sarawak. It's been ongoing since June last year.
And last week, another case of a death, a 49-year-old man who had been infected with rabies in Sarawak died, and that brings the death toll to 12 since the epidemic started last year. And rabies, just a bit of background on it. It's actually one of the oldest diseases known to humans. It's a zoonotic disease, so it can transmit from between animals as well as from animals to humans. Sadly, actually, even though it's such an old disease, there's still no treatment available once a patient develops symptoms. And Malaysia's was actually doing very well. It was declared rabies-free in 2012 by the World Health Organization. And similarly, the World Organization for Animal Health listed Malaysia as disease-absent in the rabies infection map. However, all that changed in August 2015 when the first cases of rabies in Malaysia were reported in the northern states, Perlis, Kedah and Penang. And this outbreak totally caught the Veterinary Services Department unprepared. We had low stock of rabies vaccines for animals and had to resort to culling thousands of stray dogs in those northern states amid outcry from many animal rights organizations.
Yeah, so globally, rabies kills about 60,000 people a year, mainly children in rural areas. Obviously, they have not as much fear as we do when it comes to feral animals, I suppose. Mm. More than 95% of human cases are caused by bites from infected dogs, and vaccinating 70% of dogs in a certain population can allow will allow rabies to be eradicated from the given endemic area, so it creates some sort of a herd immunity. So it's a viral disease. It affects the central nervous system of mammals. The virus is present in the saliva and brain of infected animals and generally transmitted by the bites of these rabid animals. But sometimes it could just be a lick on an open wound, and
you can get the saliva will then transfer into the blood system, right?
That's right. So the virus will generally remain at the entry site in the body for a period of time before traveling along the nerves to the brain, where it multiplies, and then it continues to move along the nerves to the salivary glands.
So it actually has a pretty long incubation period.
Yes, that's why the advice generally is, as soon as you get bitten, to just wash the site of the bite for about 15 minutes.
Right.
Yes. So that it hopefully it's to prevent it from the virus to travel through your nervous system.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So the case of the man who just passed away last week, he wasn't even bitten. It's like you said, his wife had been bitten by the dog, and she got her shots.
Yes.
But he actually, he had an open wound. So when he pushed the dog away from her,
a splat of saliva probably.
Yeah. And so he thought that since he wasn't bitten, he probably thought that it wasn't necessary to get a jab. And this was in January.
Mm.
And he developed symptoms months later.
So the first case, we just walk through what happened in Sarawak since last year. Actually, the first case was recorded in April before it was declared an epidemic in June 2017. So the locations of rabies outbreak in Sarawak is right now just predominantly in the western part of Sarawak, but it's moving more interior. So the areas declared are Kuching, Serian, Semarahan, Sri Aman, Sri K, and Betong just recently declared the 6th division as a rabies-infected area. As of August 25th, which was Friday, more than 12,000 dog bites have been recorded, 189 positive samples. While mostly dogs, there are also some cases of cat bites recorded, so in total, more than 4,600 humans have been vaccinated. And the state has been organizing mass anti-rabies vaccination programs, especially during the weekends, where people can bring their pets to get free vaccination.
So are the vaccinations for just for dogs, or should cats be vaccinated as well?
Right now, I think the focus is on dogs, and I think part of it is because of cost effectiveness. There's just too many dogs and not that many. I think one of the complaints from the state government and also from some of the key individuals overseeing the crisis or the outbreak in Sarawak is the lack of federal support in terms of cost, in terms of manpower. So I think the focus right now is mainly on the dogs.
Because I can't imagine the logistics involved in... I mean, these we're talking about areas that are quite rural as well. So reaching out to the owners of the pets and setting up areas where they can get the vaccinations.
That's right.
It's a huge undertaking.
So when areas are declared rabies infected, it becomes an offence for the dogs to roam freely or to be brought out of these rabies infected area without permission from the state veterinary authority. This is under the under Section 37 of the Veterinary Public Health Ordinance 1999. And those who are found guilty can be fined 5,000 ringgit or jailed up to 3 months or both. And if you don't vaccinate your pet dogs in these areas, it is also an offence under Section 14 of the same ordinance. You can be fined not more than 2,500 ringgit. And those pets that are caught without proof of vaccination, they can be detained and eventually destroyed.
But how long will it take, you know, assuming that these measures are taken and you can achieve herd immunity, how long will it take before Sarawak can be declared rabies-free again?
It usually will take about 2 years after the last recorded case before you can declare an area rabies-free. So,
I'm also wondering, what about the stray dogs?
That's the tricky part, isn't it? Because there's no you don't have an owner, and there are a lot of stray dogs. Typically in Malaysia in general,
yes,
right? We have a stray dog, stray animal,
even in urban areas.
Correct. Yeah. So I think that's part of the reason why it is so difficult to contain this. It's been ongoing for more than a year now, and I think a lot of it is just because of the intermingling between pet animals and these stray animals. So. Catch and vaccinate, catch and cull. In like what happened in the northern states, it started mostly with the stray dogs intermingling with the dogs from the southern Thailand. Part of Thailand. And there's no one claims ownership over these stray animals. So that's why the vet department just rounded them up, culled them.
But maybe a bit of a primer as well on what are the symptoms of rabies. In humans, the initial signs are actually quite nonspecific. You have your fever, headache.
Always nonspecific signs, isn't it?
With any viral infection. But as it progresses, then you'll start to see signs of the brain getting affected. So you get paralysis, anxiety, insomnia, confusion, agitation, abnormal behavior, paranoia, terror, hallucinations, progressing to delirium, and finally coma. And the person who's been infected may also have hydrophobia, which is a set of symptoms in the later stages where they have difficulty swallowing, shows panic when presented with liquids to drink, and cannot quench their thirst.
It sounds quite a torture.
It does.
What a way to go.
And in animals, in many cases, the infected animal is exceptionally aggressive and may attack without provocation, which has led, you know, to us using the phrase, you know, behaving like a rabid dog, you know, foaming at the mouth, that kind of extreme manifestation. Once you've been bitten or come into contact, let's say you've had an open wound that comes into contact with an infected animal, what do you do?
They should wash the wound, looking at the condition of the wound. Let's say it's just a scratch or just one bite. What they should do is, if they can cleanse the wound at home, wash with running water for about 10 minutes, use soap. After doing that, if there is still bleeding, they should use a cloth to press the wound, come to the nearest clinic or to the hospital for the next step. In the government hospital or clinic, we will do another wound debridement and cleansing of the wound. What we do, we'll assess the wound. So according to the rabies guideline, WHO guideline, the exposure to this rabid dog or animal, wild animals, there's three categories. The first category is unbroken skin, just a leg, no broken wound. We call it category one. Now, when there is a scratch, just a scratch or exposure to the mucous membranes, like eyes, to the mouth, now, that we call it category two. And category three is mauling, wound, deep wound, broken skin. Those are we call category three. Now, the clinician will decide whether what kind of category is that particular wound. And for now, when we have this outbreak, each everyone who comes with this bite wound will do wound cleansing and we start giving them vaccine, post-exposure prophylaxis.
So that's Dr. Vignesh Warad-Mutu, the Senior Principal Assistant Director of the Zoonosis Sector of the Disease Control Division at the Ministry of Health. So with little or no delay, post-exposure prophylaxis is 100% effective against rabies. And even if delayed, the treatment still has a chance of success. And in unvaccinated humans, rabies is almost always fatal after a neurological symptom has developed.
So the vaccine for humans, I'm interested about that because it's not part of our immunization program.
That's right.
Presumably because, for a long time we were rabies free, but should we consider getting ourselves vaccinated, or especially the people of Sarawak?
Right. Interesting question. I do have an answer from Dr. Vignesh.
If you go to the human aspect of giving rabies vaccination for the whole country, firstly is the cost. It's not necessary. It's not cost effective. And you have to repeat the vaccination again after 2-3 years. Now, if you are looking at the pre-exposure prophylaxis, only those who are high risk professionally, veterinary doctors who are dealing with dogs, dealing with samples, and those who are catching dogs, they are the high risk group people. So they are the people who should have pre-exposure prophylaxis. But here in the Ministry of Health, we are more focused into the post-exposure prophylaxis. That means we are giving vaccination for those who are
have been bitten
at the outbreak area now.
So there are two forms of treatments. One is more preventive, pre-exposure prophylaxis, but that's normally just for healthcare workers or people from the vet department dealing with the issue right now. And for those who are affected by dog bites or maybe in contact with a rabid animal, then it's the post-exposure prophylaxis.
So for people living in areas that have been declared rabies infected, where the disease is now an epidemic, it will be good to keep updated with what's going on. There's a website where you can track the developments, www.infodisaster.sarawak.gov.my. And if you're interested to learn more about what Dr. Vignesh has been saying, you can look up our podcast, Rabies in the Northern States. And interestingly, the World Rabies Day actually falls on September 28th.
A month from now.
Yes. It's an old disease, but it's still among us. So we really, all of us need to do our part, especially those of us who own pets, to do our parts to keep everyone safe.
Indeed, because it's such a complex issue, right? And Prof. Dr. Latifa Hassan, a professor in veterinary public health and epidemiology and the coordinator of the Malaysia One Health University Network at UPM, also emphasizes on this point.
Because most emerging infection, especially emerging zoonotic diseases, they are very complex in terms of how they occur, why they occur. So the way to tackle them is also complex. So that's why a single agency or a single individual cannot solve the problem. Mm-hmm. We have to work together. Keep to the simple things like wash your hands. And I know that doctors always say this all the time. And keep to the basic standard hygiene. And family pets, make sure you keep them healthy by keeping to their vaccination, the deworming program, to make sure that you deworm them regularly according to the schedule as suggested by your vets.
Okay.
And meanwhile, Sabah is already taking preventive actions to prevent the spread of rabies, banning the public from bringing in dogs and cats into the state. Authorities there have also stepped up checks at border crossings and vaccinating dogs at these border checks within 30-kilometer radius. And remember, as Dr. Vignesh said...
Well, dogs don't have passport.
So, yeah, we all have to do our part.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyway, here are some of the other health stories that we're also monitoring this week.
In France, more than 50 cows, sheep and horses have died in the country's most serious outbreak of anthrax in 2 decades, according to officials who have also warned of a vaccine shortage.
And measles cases hit a record high in Europe, with more than 41,000 people infected in the first 6 months of 2018, and at least 37 people have died. For context, it affected 5,000 people in 2016 and 24,000 in 2017.
It's rising, and I guess vaccination is again the issue, the problem there. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, researchers from the University of British Columbia reported that enzymes from gut bacteria can efficiently turn type A human blood into the universal type O. Clinical trials could begin soon. I'll be watching that one.
Yep. And back home, the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, NIOSH, has suggested that Malaysia should have our own index to assess the psychological well-being of the people, in particular the nation's workforce.
Meanwhile, in Singapore, infants may have consumed bacteria-tainted Dumex milk formula. However, the contaminated milk powder is not sold in the Malaysian market, according to Health Director General Dato' Dr. Nur Hisham Abdullah.
In the Democratic Republic of Congo, 4 more experimental treatments have been approved in an attempt to contain an Ebola outbreak in the eastern parts of the country. The virus caused 59 deaths in the country this month of the 75 cases that have been reported.
And finally, the hand, foot and mouth disease statistics released by the Ministry of Health showed a promising decline in new cases last week, which is down to 2,235 cases compared to 3,826 the week before.
So if you get any major updates on these stories, we'll be sure to cover them in the coming days. Coming up, your common concerns. Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.